Welcome to Nonprofit Investment Stewards with Bob DeMeo and Devin Francis from Fiducian Advisors. Bob and Devin are passionate about helping nonprofit organizations prosper. Whether you oversee endowment, foundation, or retirement plan investments, this podcast exists to help stewards improve performance, reduce costs, and discover strategies that enable your charitable organization to prosper and advance its mission. Now, onto the show.
Hello and welcome back to the Nonprofit Investment Stewards podcast. I'm Bob DeMeo, always great to be joined by co-host Devin Francis. Artificial intelligence, it's what drove markets last year, and it certainly continues to dominate the news today. But what does it mean for you? Are you excited about the potential upside as an investor? Maybe you think AI will help you gain professional efficiencies and capabilities, or maybe you're a little concerned and view it as more of a threat. Regardless, if you're thinking about how AI can impact you, and you definitely should be, then today's episode is for you. We've got a great guest. He's not only a colleague, but a friend. And Devin, I hope you're doing well. And would you please introduce our guest?
Yeah, good to see you, Bob. Great to be here today. I'm very eager to glean some insights from our guest today, Alton Woolagey. Alton is a principal and senior consultant at Fiducient. He has worked with a variety of clients, including nonprofit organizations, private families, and financial institutions. Alton earned a degree in financial planning from the University of Illinois and a master's in personal financial planning from Texas Tech University. Alton was awarded the prestigious Gates Millennium Scholarship, as well as the President's Congressional Scholarship. He is also a certified financial planner, has served on nonprofit boards, and competes in triathlons. So, Alton, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
A true honor. Thanks for having me on. Two quick things I would note is I have many clients that listen to this podcast. So when they're on the go, so I'm sure that now that they can't escape my voice. So that's reassuring. And then congrats on, I think, episode 70 now. So saving the best for last, and also, of course, the most humble of guests that are out there too.
Oh, that's great. It's great to have you on the show, Alton. And
thank you.
Perhaps we can start with your role at Fiducient and really the role that you and your team play, because it's kind of unique.
Very unique. So I am a senior consultant and principal at the firm. We work with financial institution organizations. So think of advisory firms that work with a number of end clients. And so there's a lot of leverage on the research effort, and we've got a robust research team. So we help with the investment due diligence, but also they're as curious on things on the markets as well as things on artificial intelligence. So we like to have those investment conversations with them.
So Alton, AI is everywhere, but I think it might be helpful to level set. So first of all, what is artificial intelligence and why is everyone talking about it?
Those are two great questions. I'll actually add one more sub question, which is perhaps on everyone's mind, what is ChatGPT, which is often associated with artificial intelligence. And so, yes, let's set the table a little bit here. AI in and of itself is a field that's nothing new. It's north of 80 years old. Essentially, last year, it turned on. And to the surprise of many, it works really, really well. The reaction by people, you had Sundar Pichai, Google CEO, on 60 Minutes, essentially dubbed this a turning point in civilization. Up there with the discovery of fire, the invention of the book. I mean, you also have English teachers across the country up in arms calling it the end of essays or English composition in high school. So there's a lot of different views on what this is. So it is everywhere. I believe for many of us, our worldview on AI is probably set by every good plot line for a science fiction movie, right? It's the well-intended humans that turn on the machine then takes over the world, and we inadvertently destroy human civilization and in the process live in this dystopian society. I think that's perhaps conflated much of the hype, and I think that couldn't be further from the truth. I do believe, and this is the general view, is that AI will be more of a partnership rather than an adversarial one, which will ultimately lead us to better outcomes. And so everyone's talking about, and of course, perhaps a good time to talk about ChatGPT, which was turned on in 2023. And maybe just a few moments here, how I'd have you think about ChatGPT by default, think of it like an autocomplete. And so on your phone, instead of just doing an autocomplete with a single word, it's a very sophisticated one. So it can complete or can predict the next sentence, paragraph, even thousands of words that are out there. And essentially, it's been trained on the sum total of human expressions. So think of like billions of data points. And so traditionally, if you think of a computer, if you ask a computer a question, computers are very literal. It will give you the same answer over and over again. ChatGPT, on the other hand, isn't deterministic. It's probabilistic. And so ask it the same question again, it will give you more and more different answers, essentially taking you down different paths on this probability tree it wants to present you. I won't get into neural networks and machine learning, but essentially it has a collective understanding of everything all at once. And you as the user can really give it direction on where to go. And so ask it enough questions, it will give you better answers. But what it ought to do eventually is be able to generate new chemical compounds, new cancer therapies, new screenplays, and connect the world in a way that we have yet to do. I think more practically, you know, just compare it to perhaps an overworked medical professional looking at thousands of patient histograms or x-rays. It could eventually identify a microtumor that may be seemingly overlooked by humans. So there's a lot of potential with these types of tools. And I think that's where there's a lot of excitement and buzz.
So Alton, I'm not sure if you know this, but I am a former English teacher for a very brief period of time, and dystopian fiction is my favorite genre. So I have to admit, I'm one of the people that has been a little bit nervous about AI. But let's switch gears a little bit. And as you know, most of our audience is leaders of nonprofit institutions that are kind of focused on the investment side of things. So what opportunities does AI present for investors?
Yeah, that's a great question, Devin. The opportunity is quite meaningful. Just in terms of revenue and economic impact, PwC just had a study come out that AI could contribute just under $16 trillion to the global economy by 2030. That's more than the output of India and China combined. And so when you think of the opportunity, you know, it's really important to parse out the noise that's out there and really look for what's significant. And so here in the US, you have really essentially the Magnificent Seven really leading the charge here. And they're most known for the state of the art artificial intelligence. So you've got companies like Google, Microsoft, Amazon, Tesla, Meta, Nvidia, all on the leading forefront. As we sit here in 2024, you're seeing a real move towards monetization. So it's as easy as downloading the app for ChatGPT and subscribing for $20. You're also going to see more monetization on the business front. All of this artificial intelligence will eventually have a need for more computing power, for more processing chips, more transformational technology. And so the knock-on effects here are not just the, you know, rest of the 493 companies in the S&P 500. You'll also see it as it relates to infrastructure, hardware, data centers to house all of these systems. And so it could be a real knock-on effect that we haven't seen, frankly, since the beginning of the internet age or the airline industry. This is quite meaningful.
Yeah. So Alton, I think from an investment perspective, you probably always have speculators. I think of Bitcoin or anything new. You've got speculators, but then you have legitimate long-term investors like those overseeing endowments and foundations. And folks are wondering, how does AI translate into my portfolio and my investment opportunity set? And there might be a misunderstanding that many folks overseeing pools of money or investments don't necessarily think that they're already invested in AI. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Like it or not, investors are essentially already subscribed to this journey. In order to create these neural networks, it requires billions of data points. And so look no further than our big technology companies leading the charge here. So for a investor really looking to dial into this artificial intelligence revolution, you really don't have to look far than what you already own today. I think many of the other companies not involved in artificial intelligence are absolutely looking for ways to leverage these tools and, of course, these technologies to become more profitable. And so look no further than what you already own today to capture a lot of that. I think where we're rolling up our sleeves and where managers are having conversations are, well, what are the next companies to really take on this next revolution? And of course, you're starting to see on the Silicon Valley side and VC start to think about how these technologies can be deployed, as well as in the other technology and sectors in the economy, begin to think about use cases across the board. So the good news is, not very far you have to look. There's no angle or additional work needed to really access this this phenomenon that's taking place today.
And what do you see as some of the risks or limitations on that front?
Couple of risks out there. I mean, first and foremost, this technology is new and there's still, so to speak, ironing out the bugs. And so one of those things that ChatGPT can do is it can concoct entirely fictional answers. Perhaps one of the more infamous cautionary tales out there, it was in the New York Times last year. There was a poor fella who was on an Avianca flight, had a run-in with the metal cart, injured his knee, hired two New York personal injury attorneys. Those injury attorneys then in their briefing submitted a dozen or so case citations to the judge, at which point in time, the judge, or frankly, the rest of the court, could not identify where those legal briefings came from. And so it put those personal injury attorneys on the hot seat because ChatGPT made up those case briefings entirely. And so there is a risk out there that you really have to make sure you're doing your due diligence and not just allowing ChatGPT to give you answers. So determining truth from fiction is one of those important things, especially in this kind of work in progress that we see with AI. I think another risk out there, and this is more philosophical, but AI is general purpose intelligence. So it can do whatever intelligence can do. So if you ask it to generate hate speech, it can do that. If you ask it to commit a terror act, it can help you figure out how to rob a bank, right? So there are those scenarios out there from an ethical standpoint we'll need to think through. But it will also help you figure out how to be a better person, better advisor, give you good medical advice, be a mentor, be a teacher, be an advocate. It can be very honest with you. And so I think there are really opportunities for better outcomes for people across the board. I think something else to pay attention to is, because it's a new technology, there's really two countries leading this effort. One is the US, where we have these big tech companies leading the charge. You also have this open source movement where you have, you know, individuals that are creating this for free for the benefit of people, much like a Wikipedia, so to speak. At the same time, you compare that to China, where the government is really keen on developing these technologies because it can potentially help achieve population control. And this is nothing hidden. China is very vocal about their AI agenda through their digital Belt and Silk Road initiative, where they're wanting to overlay AI on top of their smart cities, their network capabilities, and you know, security cameras and drones can do all the kinds of things like facial recognition and traffic control and issue fines. And so, more of a philosophical question, but is AI a tool to watch and control us, or is it a tool to inform us and make us better? So I think those are the risks that we're facing today.
Yeah, that's great input, Alton, and I appreciate the story about the courtroom and such. I guess one other risk or consideration or downside for investors to think about is, in some ways, I think of AI like electricity in the early 1900s. And at that point, you know, there was going to be a need for electricity for 100 or hundreds of years, right? But that doesn't mean all investors made money on it. And utility stocks were trading at 100 times earnings, and it didn't exactly play out well for them. So we've got that side as well.
So Alton, let's talk a little bit about how you see AI potentially reshaping more traditional industries and what implications this might have going forward. And then if you could maybe tie in any specific impact you might be able to identify for nonprofit organizations.
Initially, there was a belief that AI would mostly affect manual labor, right? We'd have automatic robots in factories, driverless cars, drones hovering around delivering packages 24/7. But it's become quite evident that the implications are much more nuanced and widespread. So far, you're seeing most of the disruption on the office-related tasks and jobs that are more error-prone and require a lot more time. I think the implications are that you'll essentially split businesses into two camps, those that leverage the technology versus those that don't. I think specifically for nonprofit organizations, there's a number of different ways this can be applied. I think even just on the hiring standpoint, maybe just something to keep in mind is that I do think people on their resumes will start to put artificial intelligence as a skill set, much like they do for Excel or coding or something else. If I can do a quick story of this and just why it's important to express the right type of prompt for a tool like ChatGPT. Just yesterday, I got a flat tire. I called the roadside assistance. It was going to take 2 hours for them to change out the tire. I just realized, look, while it's been 20 years, I haven't changed the tire. Why don't I just plug it in a ChatGPT, look at YouTube, and figure out how to do it myself? So I rolled up my sleeves, but I can't just ask ChatGPT to say, change tire. I was like, well, what do I need to do? What do I need to watch for? How do I make it easy? And so it was able to really give me nice prompts. And so how you interact with the tool is really important. I use that as an example, and just to tie this back into nonprofits, you think of the top three things that are on nonprofits' minds are fundraising, mission, and even just measuring and evaluating how much change they're making. So on the fundraising side, being able to personalize or curate the engagement with individual donors or being able to respond to that kind of communication, I think there's more of an engaging experience that donors can have and effectuate an improved fundraising process. I think as nonprofits across the spectrum think of their mission, they'll be able to better quantify or identify the impact that they're having. And ultimately, as they think about deployment of those investment funds towards different projects or goals, how to create a proposal, how to measure that effect, evaluate it. Ultimately, the optimization of that process is also something that will be really interesting. So I think just being a more productive and sharper organization is something that we can all look forward to. And that's both on the actual business, but also as it relates to the goals that the nonprofit has in mind.
Alton, what are some of the key trends in AI, and maybe what can we expect for the rest of this year and beyond 2024?
Yeah, I mean, even as you think about just on your phone or on the internet, or as you use the technologies you have today, you're noticing a button pop out for AI. So I think it's something that is here to stay. As I mentioned before, these tools are essentially trained on the sum total of human written expression. In 2024, we're already seeing it become multimodal, where you can feed it not just text, but images. You can feed it music. You can feed it this nonprofit podcast and videos and all kinds of data. So it's going to have a very complete view on our world and get very interesting in its use cases. I also think there's a big push for regulation. So there's a lot of interesting questions being asked on Capitol Hill as it relates to what we should do here in the US, but also what it means for countries like China that are out there. I think look no further than this election to be almost the first election with AI. One of the challenges here as we think of November's election is deepfake videos, where you can essentially have a candidate say a prompt or things and it wouldn't have, that actually didn't happen, entirely fictional. And so there are 77 elections around the world this year. So what's it stop? What's going to stop it from being misused? Is the genie perhaps out of the bottle? I think how we mitigate some of those negative implications is going to be one of those key trends. But I also think with any new technology, we're also going to grow in the understanding of how to leverage it. So your kids, your parents, us, we're all going to have growth with this type of technology. So it could be, hey, ChatGPT, explain quantum physics to my 10-year-old, or explain modern portfolio theory to my grandparents. I think there's a whole host of use cases out there, and it's going to be very interesting over time.
Alton, when we think about investment strategy and maybe even portfolio construction, what thoughts do you have on that?
I think two thoughts come to mind. One is just a sense of humility. It's an important reminder that these technologies are black box. It may come up with, it may create solutions that are just beyond our comprehension. And so without any evaluation or oversight, there is, with artificial intelligence, if they're pushing the button, it's important to recognize the responsibility still falls on the individual or on the persons to re-engineer how they come up with that answer. And so I think that's really important to note. And so when we think of scenarios where, you know, this may have a pitfall, there are already victims of this AI that have led to failure. So there was a hedge fund that came out, it raised a couple $100 million. The idea was AI is going to do all the trades and all the execution. And lo and behold, it became defunct. And it really led to poor outcomes there. So I think as people are using these types of tools, it's really important to think of it much like a Swiss Army knife. It is a tool that can be used amongst a variety of different things out there, but it's incumbent on the user to really identify how to leverage it. As it relates to investment strategy, investment management, it can handle a lot of data. And again, begin to draw connections that perhaps we haven't otherwise. And so I think there's a big benefit when it comes to risk management, thinking about running different simulation tests and scenarios that can make more informed decisions. So that's the really exciting part here as we think about investment strategy, rather than the next hot stock or hot tip that's out there.
That is really exciting and super interesting. And I think we can have you back to really spend an entire episode just on that and the potential benefit for investors and portfolio construction. So we've covered a lot to this point. Anything else you'd like to share or perhaps underscore?
I would just underscore that I think there are two camps there. One is that's a bit more adversarial and one that's a bit more of a partnership. I truly do believe that there are some meaningful opportunities for businesses and organizations out there to frankly take away a lot of the mundane work and tasks that are prone to error. So it's worth a look in that regard. I also think just in terms of civilization, we are seeing an emerging technology unfold in front of our eyes. So I do think it requires a bit of patience, but also as this, there are known risks, but also unknown opportunities and potential that's out there. So that's also equally exciting. So I think it's a half glass full and half glass empty, and it's worth dialing into as we look into the years to come.
Great. So before we wrap up, let's move to Alton the person. What types of things do you enjoy doing when you're outside of work?
Terrific question. I do feel like my bio is a bit out of date. Maybe I would throw in a couple of things. I think during the pandemic, I had this vision of getting back into rugby and I eventually tore my Achilles. So no rugby. I stick to the Peloton bike. But outside of that and outside of work, my wife and I love to host. We love to cook. We like the food scene. I think in absence of sports, I've developed a really keen interest in F1 and Formula One racing. So that takes up a bit of time there. love a good podcast. Again, a big fan of the Nonprofit Podcast here, but I can put those in my earbuds and tune out for a couple hours. Love to spend time on the podcast routes as well. So that's just a little bit about me there.
Great. Thank you so much. Well, we really appreciate your insights, your expertise. You've shared so much of interest to Bob and I and to our listeners. So thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, Alton. That was absolutely terrific. And as always, thanks to our audience. We're grateful for you. And as Alton mentioned, we've had a number of episodes and just keep chugging along here. And I did want to mention three special reports we'd like to share with our nonprofit leaders. The first is hot off the press. It's a groundbreaking study on cultural institutions, think museums and zoos and gardens and so on. And it really delves into their investment practices and the governance around them. It was a joint effort with Fiducient and the American Association of Museums and the Morton Arboretum, and the findings are super insightful. Next, we have a very similar study, but that applies to associations, both their investment and their reserve funds. And then finally, and this would be more for those of you who are involved in higher ed, we have insights and perspective on the Nakubo study. So if you're a nonprofit leader and you're interested in how your peers are investing and how they're governing and so on, reach out to me or reach out to Devin on LinkedIn or email us, and you'll see that in the show notes. So to all you good stewards, thanks for investing time to help your nonprofits prosper. We'll connect with you soon on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to the Nonprofit Investment Stewards Podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified of new episodes and visit fiduciantadvisors.com for more information. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Fiduciant Advisors. Content is made available for informational and educational purposes only and does not represent a specific recommendation. Always seek the advice of qualified professionals familiar with your unique circumstances.